And maybe you can we could hear you singing a little bit backstage, but I think you can do better than that next time. I'm going to now introduce two fellow renegades, one of whom I work with a lot of the time, and one of whom has been dubbed by Frank Hart the Boy Wonder. And he's talking about Seamus Egan, who is here this week teaching banjo and mandolin. But Seamus also plays the flute and the whistle and the pipes. And believe it or not, he also sings once in a while. So if you would welcome, please, Seamus Egan. And the man who plays the you need to be very brave to play the piano accordion in Irish music, but he plays it in his own fashion like nobody else ever has played it before. Jimmy Keen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We started there with a slow air, and it's a tune which comes from County Galway and was written by a great flute player by the name of John Lewis. And he wrote it after a friend of his, a great Shannon singer, Tom Faugine Tom, who was his neighbour there in Galway, died, and he noticed not long after his death how his house quickly ran into disrepair, and how the garden, the weeds started to grow up around the house and around the gate. And he called the slow air Weeds in the Garden. So,
great. And the tune that we followed was a tune that's attributed to the playing of Pádraic O'Keefe's mother, originally from Castle Island. I learned the playing through the tune through the playing of Cuz Tehan, another famous man from Castle Island, currently living in Chicago. The second tune after that was a tune I composed for Liz Carroll a couple of years back, called it April's Fool. And the last one, we haven't a clue what it is.
Just as informative as ever. See if I can move this mic here for a second. I'm going to do a song which is fairly recently written, just a couple of years ago, by a man who lives down around Washington, D.C. somewhere. His name is Peter Jones, and maybe you know more about him than I do. I really don't know very much about him. But it's a song that he based on a series of letters that he found that were in his own family that have been handed down over the years. They're letters from the last century, and they were sent back and forth between members of the family who emigrated to America and the members of the family who stayed back home. They lived in a little place in County Mayo, and it gives you a real sense of those times, you know, very, very difficult times in Ireland in the latter half of the last century. You had the great famine in the 1840s that some figures say as many as 12 million people left Ireland in those times, and the present day population of Ireland is only around 4 million. It gives you an idea of the scale that was involved. But usually when they left in those days, they knew they would never get back again. Very, very few of them ever made it back. And they had what they called an American wake, which was a pretty wild party, like most Irish wakes are. Kind of a wild but sad party. They'd dance and play and sing all night and see the people off to the boat the following morning, knowing that they would probably never see them again. But the family lived in a little place in Mayo, which is still there, called Kilkelly. Kilkelly, Ireland, 1860, my dear and loving son John. Your good friend, the schoolmaster, Pat McNamara, so good as to write these words down. Your brothers have all gone to find work in England. The house is so empty and sad. The crop of potatoes is sorely infected. A third to a half of them bad. And your sister Bridget and Patrick O'Donnell are going to be married in June. Your mother says not to work on the railroad, be sure to come on home soon. Kilkelly, Ireland, 1870, my dear and loving son John. Hello to your missus and to your four children. May they grow healthy and strong. Michael has got in a wee bit of trouble. I suppose that he never will learn. Because of the dampness, there's no turf to speak of. And now we have nothing to burn. And Bridget is happy you named a child for her, although she's got six of her own. work, but you don't say what kind, or when you will be coming home. Kilkelly, Ireland, 1880, dear Michael and John, my sons. I'm sorry to give you the very sad news that your dear old mother has gone. We buried her down at the church in Kilkelly. Your brothers and Bridget were there. Worry, she died very quickly. Remember her in your prayers. And it's so good to hear that Michael's returning with money he's sure to buy land. For the crop has been poor and the people are selling at any price that they can. I suppose that I must be close on 80. It's 30 years since you've gone. Because of all of the money you sent me, I'm still living out of my own. Michael has built himself a fine house, and Bridget's daughters are grown. And thank you for sending your family picture, the lovely young women and men. You say that you might even come for a visit. What joy to see you again. Ireland, 1892, my dear brother John. I'm sorry I didn't write sooner to tell you that father passed on. He was living with Bridget, she says he was cheerful and healthy right down to the end. Grandchildren of Pat McNamara, your friend. And we buried him alongside of Mother down at the Kilkelly churchyard. He was a strong and a feisty old man, considering his life was so hard. And it's funny the way he kept talking about you. He called for you at the end. Oh, why don't you think about coming to visit? We'd all love to see you again.
Thank you. I'd like to play a tune that I wrote for my father. My father's originally from Galway, the Connemara, actually, and he's a native Irish speaker, and he's also a Shano singer, or the old-style singer. Since he came to the States, he's been working as an iron worker, and he's earned the nickname The Horse. So I call this tune Horse Cane's Hornpipe. Then it'll be followed by a rake of
reels,
then the Seamus, and then some more reels after that, and then another reel. And, of course, Danny. And we're taking an we'll be taking a short intermission, but you have to stay here. No, 15 minutes, I believe. Is it 15? 10, 15 minutes. So we'll see you in the next half.
Don't be alarmed. Just a little bit down, Flan. In the monitor, anyway. Great. Thank you.
about 15 minutes. Well, we're going to kick off the second half here very shortly. I was asked to ask you not to have any tape recorders going during the show, because there is a recording being made here, as is done every year, and the sounds of tape recorders clicking off seems to, other people's tape recorders clicking off seems to be a bit of a problem. So if you would refrain from taping, you'll be able to get a tape of this concert later on. Starting off the second half, we have somebody who's here for the very first time this year. She comes all the way from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, playing the harp. Would you give a nice welcome, please, to Carol Thompson?
Nice to be here. I'm going to play three tunes for you tonight. The first one is a tune called Miss Hamilton or Lady Hamilton. It was a tune written by Cornelius Lyons. It's one of the few remaining tunes from his playing, most of them collected by a fellow named Bunting in a book that you might be familiar with, since most of you, I guess, are here for Irish Week. Anyway, I think it's attributed to around the early 1700s. And I first heard it played by Eugene O'Donnell, and that inspired me to learn it. Is there an organ in the background? Thank you. next tune is a tune called Loggin' Love. I think it's a tune about unrequited love on the Loggin' River. And I took this for an arrangement by Hamilton Hardy, who is one of Ireland's classical composers. And I found it in a book. I'd heard people sing it, and I wanted to play it, so I adapted his arrangement of it. When I'm doing this funny thing up here, I'm moving levers. Some of you can't see, but this is a type of harp that would be similar to an Irish harp. And it has levers here. And what they do is they press against the string when I use them, and they shorten the string. And so sometimes I have to use those in the middle of a song, but mostly I use them to change keys before I'm going to play a song. This next song is a song called Lord Mayo. This tune is the only surviving tune from a fine harper named David Murphy. And David Murphy, you've all heard of Turlocha Carol, and I know it, and I'm sorry, but I'm not going to play one of his tunes. David Murphy is his rival, and I've decided to play one of his. They used to fight a lot when they got together, and one day they were at Mr. Burke's house, and he was Lord Mayo, and they quarreled so badly that finally Mr. Burke threw David Murphy out of the house and banished him forever. After about a year of wandering and being penniless, he decided to write a tune for his patron and come back and beg his forgiveness. He did this on Christmas Eve, so sometimes this song is played at Christmas time. It's also a poem, and in the poem, he begs his forgiveness and asks to be taken back again into the household. And, Mr. Burke really couldn't refuse, and so he stayed there then until he died. This is the only tune then that remains from his playing.
Carol Thompson there on the harp. Wasn't that lovely? This is really the hard part of the show for me because I have to ask you to welcome back Frank Hart. Let's sing a couple more songs.